Hey, everybody. Good evening. Happy Tuesday. Today is September 15th, and so that means it's another edition of Reverend Harris's Black Lives Matter Show, the Women's Edition. And tonight, just like every Tuesday for the rest of this year, this show is dedicated to the memory and legacy of Sister Maria Ells, who was a board member and strong voice for Fresno Freedom School here in Fresno, California. And so we dedicate this show to Sister Maria's memory. I want to welcome everybody to the show. And friends and neighbors, I want you to get out your pens and papers and take down the call-in number, because I assure you, tonight's show is going to be a hot one. So the call-in number for tonight is 1-516-387-1474. Once again, that call-in number is 1-516-387-1474. So I just want to go over a couple of things before we get into tonight's topic. I don't know how many of you have been watching CNN or MSNBC, and you heard about the city of Louisville's settlement to Breonna Taylor's family to the tune of $12 million. So I'm not sure how much a black life is worth. $12 million is a lot of money. I will leave that for you all to make your own decisions, but I understand that the family wants to have some police reforms as well, but as far as I know, there hasn't been any word about how they're going to go about that. Okay, so that the second thing is, I don't know how many of you know that Kamala Harris was in Fresno today. She was here to go over some of Cal Fire's efforts and the some of the close wildfires that have been burning in Fresno County. And and that being said, I don't know how many of you know the Central Valley well enough to know that Three Rivers has been evacuated. That's down in Tulare County, and that's a real concern because that fire down there is spreading. So anyway, that's just a little bit of a news update, and I wanted to share with you tonight's topic, which I think is really awesome and something we haven't done tonight. So tonight's topic is fighting to find healthy alternatives during these stressful times. And it's all about the art of anger. And we have the CEO, Ms. Melissa Knight, who is going to be on just a little bit later to talk about this topic. Now, those of you who don't know Melissa, I'm going to be doing an intro a little bit later on, but some of you probably know her by reputation, and her business is in the Tower District. But I'm going to do a formal introduction for her in just a little while. I wanted to just take a couple of minutes to talk about why I chose this for tonight. I mean, when you think about everything that's going on in the world, you think about how many black lives and brown lives have been lost to police brutality. You think about the coronavirus pandemic that is laying waste worldwide. You think about schools being shut down and parents having to educate their children in the home. You think about those parents that don't have Wi-Fi for their children. And not only that, but don't have computers. And God bless those people in Northern California and in Oregon and Washington who had all those things, and wildfires destroyed them. So you add all that into the regular workaday life that all of us are going through, and you understand that these are very, very stressful times, and everybody handles stress differently. you know, for those men and women and children who are in domestic violence situations, this kind of stress, this kind of situation can only make things worse. Now there's a big deal going on about sex trafficking worldwide and how people are relating to that. And it's not just sex trafficking, but it's human trafficking to get free labor or reduced price labor. So the world is really in dire straits. Now, those of us who believe in faith, whatever your higher power is, whether it's God or Yahweh, Jehovah, you know, you may have a better handle on handling the stress, and you're walking on faith right now. And there are other people who are out there trying to self-medicate. And so, you know, you wonder why and how we're going to make it through. And people forget that this is not the first pandemic that has happened in the world, right? We had another one in 1918. And people were forced to wear masks then. And the same thing that happened is happening to us right now is the same thing that they went through. And people were getting arrested, believe it or not, for not wearing masks in public. And so, you know, it's like everything that's old is new again, and even the unfortunate things. You know, I mean, some people would say that we have a malignancy, something toxic living in the White House right now. And, you know, some people have just given up hope that things look so terrible. It's a very dystopian sort of landscape we're looking at here. You know, so the government is messed up. You know, our families are messed up. The schools are messed up. And people are looking for a way to feel better. Yeah? And some people are very resilient on their own. They're just naturally very resilient. And there are some people who are not and are really suffering, like the brother that was having an emotional crisis. I believe his name was Daniel Prude. This brother was stopped in the street, and the police were called by his brother. And, you know, the brother, of course, is calling 911 thinking, okay, well, the cops are going to come. They're going to help my brother. They're going to assist him, and everything is going to be. And the exact opposite of that is what happened. So the police show up, and because this brother tells the police, hey, I've got COVID-19, they decide for their own protection, and I understand that, that they're going to put a spit hood on him, which they did. They administered a spit hood and wrestled him to the ground. The problem is that they wound up pushing this man's face into the pavement so severely that it cut off his breathing, and he had to be taken to the hospital. So he did not survive this encounter with the police. If I'm remembering my facts correctly, Daniel Prude was taken to the hospital and wound up dying at the hospital sometime later. So I'm saying all this to say things are looking mighty bleak, and we need a way to make ourselves feel better. And we need to try to do this without street drugs, without the overindulgence in alcohol. I mean, and there, you know, all things in moderation. So there are ways to abuse anything, whether it's food, whether it's porn, you know, whether it's sex. Not that I'm telling anybody what to do about the sex life. Don't call in fussing at me about that. But what I am saying is that people are looking for outlets for their frustration, for their angst. And so that was one of the reasons why I chose this topic tonight. and chose to have Melissa on to talk about her business. And I'm hoping that I'm not going to move anything up too far. I thought I'd be yapping a lot longer because you all know that I'm very, very long-winded, but I don't want to bore anybody. So I know that Melissa is listening. I know that Rev, who's running the board for me, is listening. So I'm going to move up my intro for Melissa just a little bit. So it's going to be about start now at 8:10. I was going to start at 8:20, but I am very, very slow reader. So you all, please, please, please forgive me. And I hope Melissa forgives me as well. So let me do this intro. This is a bio sketch, spiritual. Melissa Ethereal Astari Knight is the mystic visionary whose latest entrepreneurial venture, which she launched in early 2018, is also her passion. She's the creator and CEO of The Art of Anger Incorporated, an alternative healing trauma transformation center, also known as the Rage Room. That's in quotes, located in Fresno's historic Tower District. She's also the owner of Night Vision Consulting, Coaching, and Visioning and Voyages, which she launched in 1991 to help nonprofit organizations and their executives build capacity to secure funding and be sustainable to achieve their mission and vision. And she's also the creator and host of the TV show SOAR, S-O-A-R, with Melissa Knight, which airs on CMAC, and her YouTube channel. And this was launched in 2017. A gifted psychic and energetic healer, she is a personal and spiritual development coach, and very recently retired, that's in boldface, y'all, retired women's gender and sexuality and African American studies professor, and a recognized expert in women's sexuality and sacred indigenous healing for trauma recovery. As a seasoned, I want to make sure I get this right. As a seasoned Akashic practitioner, she has fiercely reclaimed and integrated her goddess, mystic, and alchemist and shamanic gifts, and is on a mission to help others reclaim their gifts to stand fully in the divine light of their truth. Melissa is often hailed as an oracle because of her stunning accuracy. She is a clairvoyant, a clairaudient, a clairsentient, and an intuitive Akashic records practitioner, and a Qui-Gon and Nirdan energetic healer. She has unlimited access to the Akashic field of all that is. As a result of her proven, trusted, and impeccable integrity within the Akashia, she specializes in reclaiming, healing the sacred feminine divine. Now, y'all, I want you to get your pens and pencils ready because I'm going to give you some websites. The first one is for Art of Anger, and it's called www.theartofanger.com. Once again, that's www.theartofanger.com, and the number is 559-420-7706. Once again, the number for The Art of Anger is 559-420-7706. Now, the second website I'm going to give you is www.melissanightvision.com. That's www.melissanightvision, the K, y'all. And the phone number is 1 1-844-768-5975. Once again, that's 1-844-768-5975. And that's also 1-844-SOULWORK. That's SOULWRK. Now, I'm not sure exactly where I'm at. Okay, I'm looking at my time now. So I'm a little bit earlier than I thought, which is kind of good because I got a feeling we're going to have some callers. So Reverend Harris, you'll have to excuse me. Sister Melissa, you'll have to excuse me as well. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Okay. I want to take this opportunity to welcome Melissa Knight to the show. And I want to thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I am completely just honored and happy to be here. And thank you for the introduction.
You're welcome. I know that you have been a spiritual healer for a long time. What prompted you to start The Art of Anger?
You know, it's been a long time coming. I sort of feel like I've been doing it for quite some time before I formally started doing it. In coaching clients, I've been sending clients to the batting cages and to the driving range, or telling them to go to the thrift store and get an old piece of furniture and take it home with a baseball bat, set an egg timer, and turn the rock music up loud. You know, so because people have had anger just kind of it's stored in their bodies. And if, as you're working with folks and they're trying to get to a place of self-love and work through some forgiveness of transgressions and things that have happened to them and things they've experienced in their lives, there's a point where the stuff that they're holding on to is toxic and it's making them sick and they need to release it. And it's that's really where it came from, just really looking at the fact that society doesn't give us a way, a means, and permission to be our whole selves. So I wanted to create a place where folks could safely and sanely and with supervision and securely and judgment-free do some physical releasing.
That's wonderful. That is just wonderful. Speaking as a Black woman, I got a lot of rage, and, you know, so walk us through a typical session. How does that work?
Sure. And sister, we all do. We have our personal experiences of trauma that we've had across our lives, and trauma isn't just, you know, I was held up at gunpoint working at, you know, wherever I work at 7-Eleven or whatever, or I witnessed gun violence in my neighborhood, or, you know, I was sexually assaulted. It's not just those things. It's trauma can be a toxic relationship, or it can be being an adult child of divorce. It can be all kinds of things. Loss and grief cause trauma. So
you're saying that you're saying it could be cumulative, like your current situation and everything that has gone before.
Absolutely. Okay. And on top of that, as a people, we are also carrying ancestral trauma. We are carrying the legacy of slavery and Jim Crow and the oppressive systemic racism and white supremacy that we're walking around dealing with daily, compounded on top of just the regular stuff. And then this year we've got COVID and fires and, you know, it's just piled on. So.
It's just
people are traumatized right now, walking around traumatized and trying to. So a typical day or a typical session, so folks come in, and by the way, I do Try It Free Tuesdays for anyone interested. I do Try It Free Tuesdays every Tuesday all day, and you book it on my website, and it's a, you know, an appointment that you book, and but it'll, you know, it's free because I want folks in mental health field and first responders and educators and folks working in health and human services, pretty much, you know, anybody that's working with people dealing with trauma, children and adults, to be able to come in and see it for themselves and check it out and have a full walkthrough and the full experience so that they know where they're referring people to. So
that
folks
is
come
so
in.
Cool.
Thank you. Folks come in and they get wavered up immediately. Of course, we're an essential business, so we are in alignment with all of the rules and guidelines set out by the governor and the mayor. And so folks are masked when they arrive. I ask them all the questions about COVID symptoms. I've got a thermometer in my tool belt that I wear. And I give them a waiver. They're wavering up. And then I start giving them gear. And so as soon as they get their gear on, they can get past my first kind of the front waiting area. And
right.
by gear, they are covered from head to toe, face shields and helmets, like bike helmets or construction hats, heavy-duty stuff, a Tyvek suit that is long sleeve and long pants, and zip front. And then they're required to wear closed-toed shoes. And gloves that are thick because once a weapon or implement is used in a rage room, it's got glass all over it. And so you can't get past my front area there without all that gear on. So
that's cool. Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. That is awesome.
It was
Melissa.
important for me to make it safe.
I was just going to ask, like, you know, children, adults, seniors, you know, who comes to the Art of Anger?
Everyone is welcome, and I've designed it to be accessible for everyone. So I am very, very pleased and proud to say that I'm certain that we are the only rage room on the planet that does not have an age minimum. We're a trauma transformation center, and we do that work through rage work, and so I was adamant as I was going through the process with selecting an insurance company with my broker that I wanted to be able to work with kids because I want the adults who have been walking around with death in their body and then compounded by the shame of you know, everyone saying they're not supposed to still be angry or don't talk about it or don't make me uncomfortable with it or why are you still dealing with that or why, you know, all of that. I wanted the adults to be able to release it, but I want the kids to not ever put that on. And to not ever be weighted down with that. So I I'm just thrilled that yes, we absolutely welcome kids of all ages. And I do memberships, and my youngest member is 6, and my youngest rager was 3. So
I asked this question specifically because my great niece is 9, going on 10, and I was telling her about tonight's show, and her eyes got as big as saucers when I explained to her that, yeah, you know, you can go in there and pound stuff. And she was like, no way. And I'm like, way.
Right? Yes, yes. And it's amazing. It's amazing for folks of all ages. And you know, I do want to say, too, that because you talked about kind of the full age range, and my Zen room is the splatter paint room. And I really designed it for it does a number of things, but the thought I had in mind when I put it together was seniors and folks that have quite a lot. You know, I'm thinking about, you know, my grandparents and the grandparents of friends, my grandparents before they passed, and so many seniors that are in convalescent facilities or senior living places or are in many ways isolated and with kids and grandkids with busy lives and they're not and losing friends that you know one by one how isolated and how much grief. And I wanted them to be able to do some releasing of that. And they may or may not have the dexterity and balance to have stuff lying on them. And they may not, you know, have the strength to wield, you know, some of the heavier weapons, but they still need to do that pulling stuff up and out. I believe that anger lives deep in our body. It attaches to cells and it just gets pushed down further and further and further. And so that motion, as I mentioned, like, you know, think about being in the batting cage of swinging a bat or at the golf, you know, it's this pull up and out throwing. kind of motion.
Right.
And so splatter paint is still a rage room. So my Zen room is a rage room. It's just low and no impact and no weapons
right.
and no breakables. So it's the safest room in the building because there's never any glass in there being broken. But you still have to do that throwing motion to get the paint in the little bottles that I give you up on the canvas on the wall a few feet in front of you.
Wow. I really need to think a little bit about that. My mom is going to be turning 102 next month. And she
that's amazing.
Yes. She just told me a couple of days ago that the hardest thing is not having anybody to talk to. And I was like, Mom, you know, I'm here all the time. She goes, yeah, but I'm talking about my age. People were in Fresno when I came to Fresno, or people who were here when your dad and I built this house. And, you know, and it's true. So her contemporaries are gone. Everything that you just said about losing people one by one. And I can imagine the stress that is, you know. So that's really awesome.
It's
I'm going to have to think on that and see if I can, you know, find a way to get some activity like that to my mom or get her down there or have a session at her house for her to do that. But, Melissa, let me ask you, you kind of talked about your hours, you know, for first responders and folks like that, but how far in advance do people have to book with you in order to be able to come in?
So I do ask that people book in advance, but the really great news is that you can book at any time, and I'm going to get a half hour notice. So if you are trying to, like, say it's let me actually know what time it is right now. It's 8:26. So if you wanted to come in at 8:30 because you happen to be in the Tower District and you're like you drove by and you're like, oh my God, that's where the Art of Anger is. Can I come in? You could actually, if you could book in the next 4 minutes, you could actually book yourself for an 8:30 appointment.
Really?
Or yeah, because I
actually
no, you couldn't. Sorry. I'm saying that wrong. I have to book you because it's within the appointment is in a half hour in advance. So if you called at 8, you could book yourself for 8:30 or for 8:45. Called, but if you've got online. But if you looked online and said, oh, wait, their hours are until 9, let me call. And if you call the number, if I have a spot available, I'm going to say, yeah, go ahead. If you're near, let's get you booked and have you come on in. And I'll just book you over the phone and take your payment over the phone, and you walk in and we get you geared up and ready to rage.
Wow. You know, that is awesome and so timely, so very timely. So let me take a moment to remind people of what the call-in number is. It's 1-516-387-1474. That's 1-516-387-1474. And Reverend Harris, I know that you're really good about letting us know if we have any callers. So if we don't have any callers, I have a lot of stuff that I want to say because, folks, for those of you who are listening, I haven't known Melissa like tight for many years, but I have followed her on Facebook for many years. I got a chance to meet her once a few years ago, and let me tell you, as somebody who is sensitive to that sort of thing, this sister it rolls off of her. Let me put it to you this way. And those of you who are listening who understand what I'm talking about will understand what I'm talking about. sister, have you always had this spiritual gift is my question to you.
Thank you for your question. Yes, I have, but I haven't always stood in it. It's a journey. And I think it's a journey for many people, kind of stepping into the realization and the ownership of the fullness of who we are. And that, for many of us, takes some time, and for some of us, a longer time than others. I look at some of the younger women who are walking around in their power and know who they are and are, you know, calling in their gifts and using them to heal themselves and to help others. And I'm just astounded and so very proud of them. And I don't even do that. You know, I wish I would have, you know, younger. Everything happens in divine right timing. And so yeah. I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be at doing exactly what I'm meant to be doing at the exact right time. So everything is as it should be. So I knew and I didn't fully understand it when I was younger. Sure.
Okay. Okay. You. We have a caller. Go ahead, caller.
Good evening, Ann. How's everyone today?
Very good. Do you have a question for Melissa?
Well, yeah, I actually do, because I know tonight's show is more geared towards kind of like the anger that maybe women deal with, but how do you handle that for men also?
That's an excellent question, and thank you. It is... the show is geared toward women, and that is the spirit in which Sister Aileen invited me on. But do understand that the art of anger is open for everyone. And brother, I saw it, if you had a chance to see it, but on Martin Luther King holiday, and then again, not just because of the King holiday, but I was sitting there thinking about it, and just also as we were going through all of what we were going through when Brother Floyd was killed. You know,
yeah.
I just was so, and I'm, my son is 24, and he was a teenager when Trayvon Martin was murdered. So it's very, you know, my father, my brother, men in my life, I'm so very aware of the danger that they deal with and walk around in every single day. So I wanted to just put something up and say to brothers out there, hey, this is a Black-owned business, and I understand what it means as best as I can as a mother, as a daughter, as a sister, et cetera, to walk around. As a person to walk around in a Black body, I can't say what it means to walk around in a Black man's body, but I empathize. Mm-hmm.
That's a really, really important question, brother, and I'm so glad that Sister Melissa sort of clarified that, because while the Tuesday edition of Reverend Harris's show is for women, this kind of generational hurt and rage is something that all Black folks and all people of color can relate to. And, you know, it's really, I cannot say enough how grateful I am that the sister not only has this business, but that she does what she does and she is who she is, because I've been saying for the last 20, 30 years that Black folks need a psychic healing. And as much as I yapped about it, this is a sister who's actually doing something about it.
She's
got a physical business that she's doing it. So let me ask you, brother, would this be, given what you've heard tonight from Sister Melissa, would this be something that you'd be interested in? If not pounded on something, would you be interested in the Zen room? You know,
that's why I asked the question.
I apologize for getting booted off. I'm back.
No, you're fine. But that's why I asked the question, because, you know, as Black men, who do we get to talk to? Who can we talk to? You know, we also need someone's ear to bend. Because
absolutely.
Trying to carry this burden from time to time, along with personal hurt and losses,
sure.
You need someone to talk to or something to pound on.
Absolutely. And, you know, I will say I've had folks come in and where I'm interviewing them. I'm just kind of, you know, not really interviewing, but just kind of checking in with them as they finish the session. And, hey, how was that? How are you doing? And I remember a few people have said, oh, my goodness, I feel like I just did 6 months of therapy in 30 minutes and didn't say a word. and I feel so much lighter. So, I mean, that is something that is very commonly, or something, you know, of that nature is very commonly said following the session. So people definitely talk about leaving much lighter than when they came in and being surprised at really the depth of the lightness, if that makes any sense, because I think people who know what to expect come in going, okay, yeah, this is going to feel good, and they expect it to. But then it's so – you really do have to come in and experience it, because it is a I go for catharsis from the moment you walk in the door. Everything is very, very, very intentionally designed. Brother, if you are – if you go into my bathroom and if you stand in, you're reading something in front of you at eye level, hopefully depending on, you know, how tall you are. I might need to put some things up higher, but, you know, if you're sitting, if you're standing, you're washing your hands, everywhere you look in every space, there is something on the wall to read. And it's not, you know, a news article, or and it's not about race. It's really, it's just kind of reminders of things about peace and love and harmony and releasing and standing in your power. So I designed the space to be empowering and to be safe and to feel a certain way. So I tell folks that if you walk in my doors, you have releasing work to do, because if you're not ready to do this work, you can't come in my doors. And that's not something where I keep you out. It's that you won't walk in. Your highest self meets you at the sidewalk and walks you in. And the catharsis comes in different ways. Honestly, people usually have some type of nervousness or a little bit of anxiety, or sometimes tears will come as they're in the front room filling out a waiver or having me give them the overview of what we're doing, because they realize at an emotional and spiritual level that they're about to do something that they've never been given permission to do, and they're about to give themselves permission. They're about to liberate themselves from the oppressive attitudes and tyranny that somehow we are wrong for having a full range of emotions and for wanting to express them rather than stuff them down and carry them around like dead weight with all of the illness that it gives us. We're finally giving ourselves permission to heal. And that is a gift to self. That is the beginning of self-love at every level. And so when people begin to take that in emotionally, I see it in their faces and I see it in their eyes, and I'm like, yep, you're ready. And it's beautiful.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Brother,
yes,
do you have any other questions for Melissa?
No, I do not, because just what she expounded was eye-opening.
Yes. Yes,
come in and check us out. And when I got cut off, not cut off, but my phone, I got dropped from the call, which happens to me frequently. It's a energetic thing when I'm on conference calls or things like that. I was just saying to the brother that I put a post up that just said to, and I tagged, you know, pretty much all the black men on my Facebook, as many as Facebook, I think 99 of them. I have $5,000 on my regular Facebook page, and I don't know how many on all the others, but 99 folks, black men that I knew personally, I tagged them and said, but in the post said, you know, hey, more than anybody, like black men do not have a space to do this work at all. I mean, as a society, in a general way, no one does, but more so than anybody else, black men are going to be looked at like they are even more, you know, perceived as dangerous or out of control, or you don't have the space to even. And so I wanted to just say to folks, hey, if you need to come and do that, call me, and I'll make sure that you can come and do that work in complete solitude, so that you aren't worried about what anybody is thinking of you doing work. So the work is important. And know, brother, also when you do this work, when you stand in your power and give yourself permission to authentically be all of who you are, you will walk out different, and you will walk around in the world different. And that difference is you will be giving others permission to be to live in the fullness of who they are just by being who you are and doing that. And when you do your healing work, it heals others around you. So it's a it's definitely an exponential experience.
So it's a ripple effect then.
All right. Yeah, that sounds exactly what it's like.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
Thank
sis.
You so much
and
for calling in.
Yes,
thank
you,
sister.
Brother. We appreciate it. So, Melissa, let me ask you. So, let me put it this way: did you have detractors who were saying, "Well, this is a little too woo woo for me. This is a little too out there for me. You know, black folks don't do this kind of stuff." And I'm saying black folks because this is an intentionally created black folks kind of show. So I have to talk about, you know, with pertinent to them. So did you have people saying this is a little bit too out there for me?
You know, actually, with regard to The Art of Anger, I really haven't gotten that. What I've gotten is thank you. And what I've gotten is folks saying, oh, my God, we need that. Wow. When can I come? And my mother passes out cards and tells folks about the business and totally. She went shopping with me to get breakables. One day I went and kidnapped her and she came in and helped me shop for stuff and put it all away and whatnot. And she walked in, bless her heart, wanting to like, girl, we need to vacuum in here. I was like, Mom, it ain't gonna make no difference. Let's just, you know, keep step over the glass. Come on, you know. But here's the thing.
So
people sort of they hear the rage thing. They hear the rage. They wrap their head around and their heart around. Mm-hmm. Wow, we need this. And when can I come in? And I think they kind of leave the woo stuff off to the side. And so the way it works for me is that the people who people get what they need. And so the people who are kind of familiar with and comfortable in that realm of, a spirituality that isn't necessarily religious, but very spiritual and a connection to God energy and, a belief in a connection between all of us and folks that, you know, maybe practice meditation and yoga and know about those folks read that stuff and they'll come in and say, okay, so what's the Akasha and how does that work?
Yeah,
and what does that mean that you read Akashic records? And
So
some folks will ask that. And I had a sister in one of the black business groups a few weeks ago who saw something in my profile that said that. And she said, hey, you do Akashic, or I didn't even know that there was someone who did that in Fresno or that there were black folks who knew about that in Fresno. And I was like, yes, I do. Those of you who might be wondering, the Akasha is the field of all that is, the energetic, ethereal field of everything. And we've all been there. We've all connected to it. We just didn't know that's what it was called. And and we mostly don't know how to access it intentionally. And when you think about people like artists, like Prince, who played every instrument known and was self-taught, or other musical artists or authors or painters that say, I woke up with this vision and I painted this work, or I created this sculpture, or I wrote this song, or I wrote this book or whatever. They're tapping into the Akashic field and they're getting what are called downloads of information that is for them to bring into the world. And there is a very intentional, prayerful way to access that.
Right, so they're like savants, the people who don't do that like just regularly, who just like musical prodigies or people like that. They're somebody who have tapped in to this type of energy and just had a chance to turn on the tap and let it flow. I think that is really,
and it's the regular people.
Really awesome.
The regular people, we do it all the time. We all do it. We just don't know that we do it. And
we don't know.
And we don't know how to go there regularly. And I've been trained to access that in a very prayerful and intentional way, and to accessing that and reading Akashic records and my quote fingers are up. They're soul records. So it's really it's everything about you. And so what are you going through? What do you need to know about why you're going through what you're going through? Because everything has a purpose and a reason, and everything is always happening for you. Everything is happening for us and for our benefit. We just may not think it is. So even the things that we think are, you know, quote unquote bad, everything is always working out for our highest and best. We just need to sit back and say yes and thank you and lean into it and flow with it.
You know, this is, folks, those of you who are listening to Sister Melissa Knight, I want you to just understand that what this sister is speaking, this spiritual truth that she's speaking, is so important for us during this stressful time. This is a time that we need to be healing ourselves inside and out, and not just healing ourselves but those around us. And so the sister has already said that this is an exponential kind of deal, that when you heal yourself, you're actually rippling that out to the people who are around you and in your circle. So I want to just take a couple more minutes to ask Sister Knight if she has anything else that she wants to add, because we always give Reverend Harris a few minutes at the end of the show. And but I wanted to just have you put a cap on what you want to share with the public, because I think that, you know, your business is doing so well. Obviously, it's been going for 2 years. But what would you like to share to put a cap on this evening for us?
Thank you, sister. I just really want people to know that this is a safe and sane and secure and judgment-free zone, that, you know, whatever, you know, that, what was that adage in commercial years back, you know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. I felt when folks come in with kids, I will tell the kids, hey, this is a judgment-free zone. So yell, scream, cuss, cry, whatever comes out, and it's okay. And I'm looking at the parents as I'm saying it, and the parents will reify, you know, yeah, absolutely. And I've got a, you know, grandparent that'll come in and it's like, you can cuss here, and you can, you know, whatever. Whatever comes out. I mean, you know, some folks come in and they laugh their entire session. Laughter and tears and crying are on the same frequency. They're within the same bandwidth. And so whatever it is that comes out, allow it, because it just needs to be released, because it no longer serves you. So you want to release all those things that no longer serve your highest and best, because there's some great stuff coming, but we have to make room for the good things that we're calling in, and we can't keep holding on to old stuck stuff that just doesn't serve us. We just don't need it. We don't need to be stuck anymore. You know, the slogan that goes with the Art of Anger is that trauma was never meant to be a destination, but people get stuck there. Sister, and I figured out along the way that it's my job and my mission and purpose in life to help people free themselves from that, to help people to get unstuck and move forward in their life. The piece that I didn't touch on that I do want to say really quickly is that people think that the art part of the Art of Anger is the Zen splatter paint room, and splatter paint is beautiful and it is artistic, but the art part of the Art of Anger is that when you are all done crashing your stuff, you can save some of the shards from your destruction session and then work with our artist in residence and create a unique piece of art. And that is another transformational piece. You can do that, or you can create a stepping stone or something else from it. But our artist in residence right now is a sister who is just phenomenal, Rhonda Kelly. Her work is just, oh my goodness.
Oh, okay.
And she is a, she is, oh, she's amazing. She's an assemblage art is her specialty. And so that putting things together, the shards from the destruction session and creating something else from it, that is the work that you'd be doing with those shards. And that is her specialty. She's also a textile artist. She loves to work with fabric. And she is a painter, and she is just, her work, you have to see it. And experience it, because it's not really just visual. It's an experience, her work. And I'm so honored to have her say yes when I asked her if she would be our first artist in residence. But that piece of creating something new and beautiful from the shards of destruction that represent your anger and trauma. The whole point of that is that now you have to make a decision about what gets to hold space in your head, because for all those years or decades, you've been told that the anger, the trauma, what caused it, and you for thinking it and wanting to be stuck there, or the idea that you want to be stuck there, was bad, and it made you ugly, and it made you, you know, unattractive. It made you, you know, sullen or whatever. And now you're looking at something beautiful and unique. And if that came from the depths of your trauma and pain, and yet you're looking at something beautiful, then you must be beautiful too. And you were beautiful even when that was inside of you. And you've always been beautiful, and you always will be. And so every time you see that, you are moving yourself forward in your healing, and it represents that you've already started your healing work, and you're well on your way to pursuing the trajectory that you were on before the trauma sidetracked you, and you're on your path of self-determined destination, wherever you're going, what you want to do in your life.
That is just awesome, and something tangible that people can take with them. That is very important, because it's easy to get lost in the weeds of our emotions. But to have something tangible to hold on to and to look at, that is just, that's tremendous. That is awesome.
That's it. And that's it. The way you said that is so beautiful, because it is about that. Because sometimes we do the work, and the work kind of comes in stages. Like maybe we release what we're able to release today, but we've got some stuff that's even further back, or some stuff that comes up or we get triggered next week. And we may forget that, hey, we're healing. This is a process, but we are healing, and we've made some progress. So when you look at that tangible, as you said, piece of art that you created, you are reminded, wait a minute, I'm already doing this. I've already made some progress. And you don't have to, you know, because sometimes we forget the progress we've made when the next thing happens to us, right? So you put that piece of art up on your wall, or that stepping stone, you know, in your path on your way out the door, or, you know, out the gate or whatever, then you're reminded, oh, yeah, I'm healing. I'm a work in progress. Right. I've made some progress. I'm moving forward.
What it's about. You are awesome. And I want to take this opportunity to thank you so much for coming on the show. And hopefully you will agree to come back, and maybe I'll be better organized with my reading sheet and all that good stuff. But I just want to thank you so much for the work you do, the healing work that you do.
Sister, you are perfect just like you are, and everything flowed exactly as you don't need to change a thing. And I would be honored to come back and to the awesome comment. I know that I've said this to you before, and I'm going to say it again. I am just your mirror. I am your mirror. You are awesome. You are amazing. You are a beautiful soul. And I thank you for the work that you do in our community. I thank you for standing in your power and walking in your light.
All right, sis. Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, y'all.
Thank you, Reverend.
All right. Yes. Okay. So, Reverend Harris, as always, we want you to weigh in on tonight's show, and anything that you want to add or say. We appreciate you letting us have this platform.
Yes, good evening to everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, thank you, my sister Aline, for having this show and keeping the legacy of Maria continue to flow in our hearts each and every day. Tuesday nights was her show night. You were co-hosting with her at different times, and I just thank you for grabbing the bull by the horns and keeping her legacy alive in the community. I'd also like to thank Sister Melissa Knight. She's just a phenomenal person. I've been following her for many years. She have reached out to me about the project that she's doing, which I think is very, very needed in our community right now. I think if we would take time out to go down and take our frustration out on some wood or whatever, just walls, and instead of beating each other with our words, each other. The negative thing. We're all human beings, you know, and I think that's what, and it's hard for me to talk without talking about history, you know, 400 years of slavery, we're traumatized. You know, we're traumatized from Jim Crow. We're still dealing with Jim Crow today. We're traumatized from systemic institutionalized racism. We're, you know, we black culture, we're dealing with a lot of domestic violence and black on black crime. And, you know, it's like, where's the outlet? Where's the outlet that we can go as a community and just be ourselves? Because let's be honest tonight. I mean, the black man is told not to cry, be strong, you're Superman, you know, but we're still human. I mean, we still have tears in our hearts, and we still have a soft spot in us. I don't care how much you can bench, it doesn't matter. You still have a heart. And I think that the program that Sister Professor Melissa has brought to our community is going to grow. I feel that it's going to grow across the country if it hasn't already. Because we need an outlet where we can go as people and let some steam loose, you know. If we let steam loose in the wrong way, then the police is called.
Hello.
So I think that domestic violence and things that statistically that we have in our community, I believe that this program would de-escalate that. Okay, I'm not saying it's going to remove all of it, but I feel that it would de-escalate a lot of that. And I think that, you know, as young adults as well as adults, I just think that, feel that as a professor, and she's highly respected in our community. I tell you, I've been following her for quite some time, and you know, just going through her Facebook. One of the things that I like to say about Sister Knight is her smile. I mean, if you get a chance to smile, I mean, just go through her Facebook. I mean, she has a million-dollar smile. I mean,
it's not true. You are so kind. Thank you.
Have a smile like that, and it's a real smile. You can tell when people are smiling, but it's a real smile from the heart to say, hey, you know, I really care about you. You know, I am who I am. I mean, I am who I am. Many people like
me. She's authentic. Yeah.
And many people don't like. But at the end of the day, once people get to know me, you know, instead of going off what other people say, you'll see that I have a big heart. Really a big teddy bear, to tell you the truth. But a lot of people don't
That's
see me
true,
like
that. That's true, y'all. It's true, y'all. Trust me, I've known him for over 20 years. It's true.
You got to get to know me first. You know, I mean, people see me in front of them, you know, press conference. Oh man, look at him. You know, but at the end of the day, I think that we all have something to bring to the table, and I think Melissa Knight has, Professor Knight has, really created something that I feel that all of us, from the youngest, tallest, and the lights, to the doctors, all of us to be able to benefit from in our community.
Yeah.
So I think we need to set a time to go down and support her. I think that when we go down, I think if it's okay with her, promote her program. I mean, that's something that, you know, I created this show, you know, Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show, from a black perspective, because I don't feel that people are hearing us, right, and in this community. Mm. I think that, you know, Sister Knight has really stepped forward to say, hey, you know, I'm not just going to whine, I'm not going to cry about it, I'm going to be about it. You know, I'm not just going to talk about it, I'm going to build an institution in the community where, you know, some people may not like it, you know, some people may love it. But whoever can benefit from it, you know, let's get behind her. Let's encourage
her.
Things that I keep saying all the time, you know, as a leader, you know, I don't get many praises. You know, I rarely get, you know, people say, hey, how you doing? I'm getting a call. How you doing, Harris? You know, I get more of dealing with people's problems, but that's just part of the territory. But I'm just saying, we are sisters. And that's why tonight on the show, if you look at all the pictures tonight, it's all women. You know, women from our ancestors, from, you know, speaking and, you know, different things like that. Because I feel that the black woman has a space at the table, has always had a space at the table. And I think that, you know, we as men, we need to get behind them. And so that's why I created this platform for our black sisters, our black women, because I want them to be heard. I don't want them to be muzzled. I don't want them to be, you know, tippy-toeing around. No, be yourself. You know, be who you are. Stand for what you believe in, regardless of who you like it or not. You know, and that's what, and then again, going back to Melissa Knight, that's what I respect about her. You know, when she stands up, mm-hmm. It's real. It's genuine. You know,
right?
And I really, and you all know me, sister. I mean, you know, I look at a person, and you know, I don't say much. I just watch. You know, I'm saying if they're consistent, they're jumping back and forth. You know, but I can't say that about Sister Knight. You know, she's on the track.
She's on point. Yes.
On point. She's getting things done. She's networking. She's talking to people. Really trying to leave a legacy in this community, locally and across the country. That hey, you know, we can do things in a different manner. And so that's what I respect about it. I really, really enjoyed the show tonight. I did push the show more than I, you know, it's all across the country right now. The show is archived. When the show is over, Sister Knight, you can go back and listen to the show, keep it for your own records. And we hope that you will come back on our show. You know, maybe have some people who went through your program to come on our show and kind of talk about it. Well, I guess I'll be the one talking about it. I'm gonna go through it myself. But I got some.
All right.
Andrew, I need to let.
I love
it.
If we are living in this world and walking around,
I'm
we absolutely do.
I'm
serious.
Sally, I'm gonna go ahead and go to you, get a show back to you. Thanks, Brother Tony, for calling.
Okay.
Sister Maya, love you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Behind you,
love you both.
And anything we can do.
All right, yeah. Okay.
So, I yield back to you.
Okay.
Thank you.
So
love you both. Appreciate
all right, everybody. We want to take this opportunity to thank all of you for listening. And we want to thank Sister Melissa Knight for coming on and sharing her vision of the Art of Anger. And I'm going to say to y'all what I say every week. Stay black until we get back. Take care and stay safe.
I love it. That's right. Love it. Good night.
Good night.